Please turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1 and chapter 2. And I might just say to the children, I'm going to be mentioning a plane and flying a plane, and there'll be something very important on that, so you listen and maybe draw that. About the next couple of months, I'm going to be starting and going through a series dealing with evangelism. So I'm starting today. Next week, Lord willing, I'm going to finish up one more from You Asked For It series that I got in later and thought it would be good to cover. On into November, we'll be dealing with the idea of evangelism and outreach and what that means. So this is the first one in terms of the message. They were to proclaim. Beginning with verse 17 in chapter 1. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, that the cross of Christ should be made void. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not come to know God, God was well pleased with the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And then going on down to chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, and when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power. That your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. My understanding is that British RAF, the Royal Air Force, when they have somebody that comes and wants to be a pilot, they give them a series of exams, physical exams and all sorts of exams. But there's also a written exam. And one of the questions on that exam, or at least it used to be, is if you were piloting a plane and the Queen Elizabeth was in the back of the plane, and she fell out of the back end, what would you do? And as you might expect, that question had quite a number of interesting answers as people tried to come up with what would they do in that situation. And some of the answers were, well, you know, I'd commit suicide by crashing the plane into something. Or another said, well, I'd veer off the flight path and look for a third world nation where I could land and never be seen of again. Another guy said, you know, I tried to circle down and swoop under the Queen and catch her on the wing of the plane. I doubt if that would work. All those answers are, of course, were wrong. That wasn't what they were looking for. The correct answer is actually very simple. If you were piloting that airplane, what you're to do is correct for the loss of weight in the back end of the plane
and fly on.
That seems sort of funny. But there's a serious point to it. That if you're the pilot of that plane, you need to know that your job, your responsibility, the number one thing that has been entrusted to you is flying that plane. And everything else pales by comparison. You have one task. And there may be things that would distract you from that task, but your task is to fly the plane. It's very simple. It is your number one responsibility. Well, that same sort of point is being made here by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2. As Christians, we have one point. We have one basic message. We have one thing that should fill our hearts and our minds, and that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, of course, there are other things that are significant and important, and he's talking in the first chapter about baptism. And we don't want to in any way say that baptism is not important or it shouldn't be done. But as Christians, what we always need to understand, just as the Apostle Paul understood, that our foundation, that our hope, that our thinking, the theme of our lives, the very essence of our being, comes back really to one thing. It comes back to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is what truly matters. Just as flying the plane is what matters to the pilot. And so the first point we can see is the centrality of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. As you look at chapter 2, verse 2, "For I determined," look at that word, "determined, to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." The Apostle Paul made a very conscious decision. As he was going about, as he was doing his missionary work, what sort of model, how would he go about doing it? And he's saying he was excluding from his preaching, but he's saying even more, even from his knowledge, anything else but Christ crucified. There was the one great truth that was to be central to his thinking, that was to be central to his preaching, that was to be central in his life. And he resolved to know Christ crucified and nothing else. Does that mean that the Apostle Paul didn't know anything else? Or that he never talked about or wrote about anything else? Well, no, obviously not. As you look at the whole letter of 1 Corinthians and you go on to 2 Corinthians, you see that Paul deals with a whole host of topics, issues that were troubling the church, issues that they needed to think about in terms of the Lord's Supper and all of such things. And yet what he is saying is there's a foundation to all that he's saying. There's something that undergirds all that he communicated to the Corinthians and to all the churches he was, and that was Jesus Christ crucified. And so as he would talk about the Lord's Supper, as he would talk about spiritual gifts, as he would talk about the attitude that he would have toward the government, as he talked about the one another's and how we're to relate to each other, and all the rest, it only makes sense in the light of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, being dead and buried and raised again. If Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for our sins, then we ought to eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow. Some tomorrow we will die. And the best that we can help for is to enjoy this life as much as we can. And what Paul is saying here, and really what God is saying to us, is that everything else, all that we would consider in terms of religion, about Christianity, really comes back to this one focus, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is on what the Christian is to focus, to think about. And the verb tense here, crucified, and is also used in chapter 1, verse 23 that we read, is very significant. It's saying something that has happened in the past that has a continuing significance even to today. We might compare it to the Constitution being adopted. Yes, it was adopted a couple hundred years ago, but it still has an abiding presence in our country. And it's still being looked to. In the same way, Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago, but that death still has an abiding presence with us. It still has meaning. It still has an impact on lives. And so its value isn't limited just to what happened a couple of millennia ago. As we read this, the question in my mind for me and for you is this our theme? Is this what is uppermost in your thinking? Is this the focus? Does Jesus Christ crucified for His people give you comfort as you look at your sins and consider that those sins separate you from God? Does it encourage you that you can have peace with God because Christ was crucified? Does it become your message? Is that what you want your family, your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors to know? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Is it what motivates you to how you live? Is it what undergirds all that you do? Your work, your play, your relationships, your family, your worship. Well, the second point to see from this passage is that Paul avoided any distractions to that message. Anything that would distract from Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Verse 17 of chapter 1, he says, Christ did not send me to baptize. Even something as good as baptism should not get us off track, but to preach the gospel. And how did he do it? Not in the cleverness of speech. And literally, it's not with words of wisdom, or wisdom of words, rather. Wisdom of words. And he's saying not with some sort of fancy, persuasive speech. And 2:1, he says the same thing. Not with the superiority of speech and of wisdom. He was very conscious that he did not want to rob the message by the way he presented it. And that would have been contrary to the Greeks. So the Greeks valued rhetoric. They valued philosophical studies. And somebody who had great eloquence, great logic, you know, great rhetoric was admired and looked up to as sort of superior. They would have been listened to and paid attention to. And Paul is saying he chose deliberately not to pursue that course. And why? Well, it goes on in verse 17 that the cross of Christ would be made void. How can persuasive speech, cleverness of speech, great rhetoric cause the cross to be made void, to be made empty? Well, the dangers may be subtle, but the danger is there and is very real. It's the danger that you're attracted to the man, you're attracted to the speaker, you're attracted to the fact that he's very persuasive and very powerful. And so your faith is not resting upon the cross. Your faith is resting upon this one who is such a great and dynamic speaker. And you're drawn to him. And you're trusting in the speaker rather than the cross. And it can be a very subtle difference. And yet, it's very real. The way the message is delivered can really nullify what is being said. And I think of the farmer that went over, went out to the field one day and took a 2x4 and hit his donkey over the head with a 2x4. And someone asked him why he did that. And he said, well, I want to get my donkey's attention so that I could tell him how much I love and appreciate the work that he does. His message was nullified by his actions. The message to trust in Christ that you can't trust in yourself can be nullified if we're trusting in human wisdom, if we're trusting in human speech, if we're trusting in great rhetoric. And so, the message comes back to Christ and the cross. And how today might we do that same thing of getting away from the message of the cross, getting away from the message of Jesus Christ? Well, I look around and I see that there are many churches today that really do think in terms of superiority of speech and wisdom. As they think about filling the church, what do they want to do? Well, they want elaborate worship services. They want PowerPoint presentations. They want all sorts of music and drama and video clips. And especially helpful if you have the preacher who knows the latest joke and can always start the worship service with a great laugh. They're wanting that. It seems that they're almost afraid to proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified. To say that you're a sinner, that you can't save yourself. That your deeds are like filthy rags before God. And therefore you need Jesus Christ, who went to the cross for you. And many people, many Christians are looking for that. They're looking for worship that is entertaining. The worship that's professionally done. Rather than the truth being proclaimed without any varnish. It's as if, as Christians today, we're afraid of the message Christ, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Somehow that message isn't sophisticated enough for our age. No one will listen. Maybe if we can do enough things to entertain them, they'll come in, and somehow, maybe through the back door, we can slip in the gospel. Certainly, it wouldn't be our focus. But it needs to be. Now, granted, it's not the whole message, because we need to understand what the implications, if Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the foundation of life, what does that mean in terms of your relationship to your wife or your husband, your relationship to your children, what you do in the workplace, how you live with your neighbor. But those things can only be understood after we see, and after we understand, and after we take to heart that initial Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, it's like the RAF pilot. He may have some questions. How did the Queen follow him back to the plane? And maybe it's because some terrorists threw her out. And he needs to be aware of that. But the first thing he has to do is stabilize the plane. And then deal with the problem. Because if he just leaves his post and rushes back, the plane will come spiraling to the ground. He needs to know what his priorities are. And we need to know what our message is and ours to be proclaiming it. And the third point that we need to see, as likely as it may seem, there's power to this method, to this way of reaching out, of attracting people. As you look at verse 18 or verse 1, to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 2:4, preaching in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Or 5, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. I'm going to skip over one other reference that 4 times we have this word power being used in those verses that we read. In English, we get the word dynamite here. And you think about dynamite, that explosive power. It's expressing that overwhelming power of God. When we seek to reach people in this way, the power of God is what's active. Now, I'll grant you superiority of speech and wisdom. Your human efforts can accomplish certain things. There are churches that are filled because they've done it this way. You track a crowd. You get them excited. You get people involved. And it happens. But ultimately, it's powerless. It's powerless. Because there's one arena. And it's the most important arena there is. And that's the human heart. And what that cannot do, that style of trying to attract people cannot change a person's heart. It is powerless to do so. What is needed, and what can only change a sinner's heart, is the power of God working through the gospel, that explosive power of the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And when the focus is on that, is on Christ, is on His death, on His resurrection, there is power. Power to convert. Power to change lives completely. That was the message of the Apostle Paul. It's been the message of the Christian church for 2,000 years. It's the message of this pulpit, and it needs to be your message and my message as well. It should be the ache that's on your heart, is that everyone near you would know of Christ and Him crucified. It should overshadow all the rest of what you say, all the rest of what you do, because it's God's power is able to work. And so as the Spirit would open the hearts of men and women, not by persuasive speech, not by human wisdom, not by great rhetoric, but by the gospel of Christ, they're enabled to understand the meaning of Christ's death, and God's power is unleashed in their lives. For application this afternoon, I would have you and encourage you to think in terms of that one truth. It should overshadow all else in your life and in your thinking. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What does it mean in terms of your life? In terms of your priorities? In terms of what you want to communicate to the people around you? What does it mean in terms of your family, in terms of maybe your children and what they would see and hear from you? What does it mean in terms of those who need the power of God to transform them out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for these words of encouragement to remind us, although there's much truth and many important lessons, much to be communicated, and yet there is one message that is superior to all, that all would pale by comparison. And that's the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Help each one of us to be like the Apostle Paul, that would be what would be in our minds to know. In our minds to be thinking about and to be communicating to others. And forbid that there would be people that we would be around who would know us and yet have never heard of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Give us boldness to speak that message. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.